Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and we are on day two of DeMarcus Cousins being a member of your New Orleans Pelicans, and that's still really, really weird to say, to be honest. Still, you know, doesn't seem real if you're a Pelicans fan. This is one of the, you know, kind of monumental shifts in the franchise here in the direction they're taking. After, you know, everything broke Sunday night, the deal was confirmed right around like 3 o'clock or so, maybe a little bit before that on Monday. I don't know what it was about me, but I was terrified that somehow this deal was going to get backed out on, and all of a sudden Vlade Divac was going to have been reading Twitter all night Sunday night being like, I can't do this, and somehow it wouldn't have been official with the league, since they wouldn't have been able to get the league to approve the trade till Monday, you would assume. And so there, I think there was very real terror from Pelicans fans until, you know, all of a sudden the Pelicans official Twitter handle tweets out a picture of Boogie Cousins wearing a Pelicans uniform. No knowledge of the number yet, but it was a bit of a surprise and I guess a relief. And now everyone can go to sleep and they're not too worried about it as much as they were Sunday night, which I know was a sleepless night for a lot of you out there, especially those diehards that always reach out to me regarding everything when it comes to the Pelicans. So I gave you guys the emergency pod the night it happened, and then I had Sam Vecenie on from the Sporting News, Vice, to talk about kind of just the overall situation going on with the trade. And I've told you guys the plan for the rest of the week is basically this is all we're talking about. It's been, what, we're on Tuesday now. I haven't even talked to All-Star Game to, like, anybody about, you know, anything, because that is so overshadowed here. I've barely even spoken about Omri Caspi, though he's going to get brought up in this episode. I'm happy about that. So, you know, there's clearly just the focus is DeMarcus Cousins and his arrival here with the Pelicans. So, you know, talked to Sam Vecenie about that the other day, gave some more thoughts on it about how the, you know, the national story's more of it being the Kings in dysfunction versus the Pelicans coming in and making a really good trade and swooping in. And again, I think Dell Demps isn't getting the credit he deserves on this trade. But today, I want to talk to, and I've got a guest on, to talk about kind of the Sacramento side of things and to give us a little bit of insight into some of the concerns with DeMarcus Cousins, as well as how he's going to help on the court, and just give you a better idea from someone who's covered him for 7 years. So I've got Leo Biaz coming on. He is the managing editor for Cowbell Kingdom, great site covering the Sacramento Kings. So we're going to jump into that interview in a moment, but it's going to give you a lot of insight. And one of the things, you know, while this is being called a slam dunk from the Pelicans, saying, you know, I've been saying they fleeced the Kings, and frankly, they really did with the assets they gave up. The only two ones being important are Buddy Hield and the future first-round pick in 2017 this year, which is top three protected should the team not make the playoffs, and it's not, you know, certain that they will. But, what, you know, people are looking at this with there being no downsides to it, but there are some, and the biggest concerns about DeMarcus Cousins has always been his character and the concerns about that and the bad attitude, the locker room issues you might worry about. And this is after the Pelicans, you know, have carefully crafted a locker room culture this past offseason that we saw with the change. So I wanted to bring Leo on to talk about that. And he's had some run-ins with DeMarcus Cousins, so he can kind of give us some insight that's going to be very different than you're going to get anywhere else, because this is someone who's lived through it, gone through it. So, you know, we're going to have that on the podcast today. I'm going to talk a little bit about, well, maybe, you know, he seems to be a little bit more down on this deal from the Pelican standpoint, why I'm not as worried about some of these things before we wrap it up and then dive into more topics later in the week. But before I get to that interview, how ready are you guys to get in on the action with this New Orleans Pelicans team with potentially the first game of DeMarcus Cousins, the DeMarcus Cousins era here in New Orleans this Thursday? And a game that's quickly selling out, because if you're ready, and frankly, I think most of the city's really excited right now, there's a buzz going around town. The best way to do that is through SeatGeek. You guys have heard me mention it on here before, but it is my go-to when it comes to needing tickets for any sporting event, any concert, pretty much anything at all. They have probably the best app out there of all of them where, frankly, you just go to the iTunes store, the Google Play store, download the SeatGeek app, search through the tickets for what you need. You can do it from your phone, from anywhere you are, and it's going to be just basically that easy. So it's a ticket aggregator. It's kind of like Kayaker when you search travel sites. They're going to pull tickets from a bunch of different places, including the ones that are listed on there. They're going to show you the prices, and they're going to give you the best price possible. And not only that, they're going to rate them for you and make your life even easier. And they're going to tell you what's a good value. You work hard for your money. Make sure you're getting the most out of it, the most bang for your buck. Look at the trade the Pelicans just made. This is exactly what they kind of did. They saw a cheap deal for Boogie Cousins. They went out and get it. Be like Dell Demps right now by using the SeatGeek app. And for our Locked On Pelicans listeners, we've got a bonus for you guys. Download the SeatGeek app today. Go to settings, enter promo code, and put in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, LO Pelicans. You're going to get a $20 rebate just for, you know, making a purchase to go see this now really exciting team and what should be a lot of fun. You want to be there for Boogie Cousins' first game. You know, for any other game the rest of this year, there's only a handful of them left. Take advantage. Get some money back. Download the SeatGeek app today. Make sure you're in on the action and getting the seats that you want. But let's focus on DeMarcus Cousins, switch gears back, and some of the potential concerns that are going to come from the interview I have right here. So without further ado, let's just jump right into it. And joining me here on Locked On Pelicans is Leo Biaz, the managing editor of Cowbell Kingdom, ESPN's True Hoop blog dedicated to the Sacramento Kings. And Leo, thank you for joining me today. I'm sure you've got a busy day going on with everything.
It's been pretty hectic, man.
So with just everything happening so quickly last night, what's your just initial reaction to everything?
Honestly, it was going to happen. It needed to happen. It was a bad marriage. And, you know, I'm happy for DeMarcus. He's going to get a fresh start in NOLA. And I'm happy for the organization. They're going to get a fresh start. And like I said in my column today, the new era of Proud has officially begun.
So has the kind of what's been the temperature of what's going on with Sacramento? Is it, you know, everyone's just kind of okay with this? You know, on Twitter, it seems to be a lot of Sacramento fans are ready to like burn everything to the ground. You have a more tempered approach to it all, it seems.
Well, I stated this, and I think it was the biggest sentence in my column. I said the most unhappy fans were and are the loudest and the actual happy fans. And, you know, I'll say this much. I think the vast majority of season ticket holders that pay a lot of money are happy about this trade, because a lot of them were tired of Cousins' antics on the court. And trust me, if you watch that every single night, it gets old and it's frustrating. And it's one of those things where you just don't want that moving forward. If you're trying to set a good example for your younger players, if you're trying to set a winning culture and stabilize your franchise, that's why the Kings moved on. Could they have gotten more in return? That's debatable. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people even before this, and the perception of the value that Kings fans have for DeMarcus is not what they think it is. Obviously, it was proven that the Lakers didn't even want to include Ingram in the trade, and they pretty much said no to a swap to the Pistons for Drummond. So it just comes to show that GMs around the league were scared of taking on a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, and it didn't help that he's pretty much on a one-year rental because there's no guarantee that he even signs or if he re-signs there. So if the Pelicans lost Buddy Hield in the future pick for DeMarcus Cousins and he doesn't sign, I feel like right now Pelicans fans are celebrating, but they're going to have a change of heart because it's going to set you guys back for a long time.
Yeah, of course, it's one of those things. Everyone wants to rush and judge the trade in the moment, but it's really one of those things. It takes a few years down the line to really see how this all shakes out. I mean, Pelicans fans know this is kind of the narrative about the Jrue Holiday trade originally with Philly has kind of changed, where now it looks like the Pels might have won that, whereas in the moment it was not the case whatsoever. So are you guys excited to be getting Buddy Hield in there and the first round pick? Or, you know, was compensation as important to you guys as to just moving on and building a different culture?
Well, I know a lot of fans are excited to have Buddy Hield, but like I said, it's way too early to judge this. And I think fans, once they have a good grasp of what the final roster looks like come Thursday, I think we'll have a better idea and a better feel for the fans. But yeah, right now people are upset and they think it wasn't enough. But again, people don't talk to NBA executives and NBA GMs, and they don't have a true feel of what DeMarcus's value really was and why certain teams didn't give up as much. Because as I stated earlier, they were afraid to bring on a personality like him. And you know, it's not easy, especially if you're not an established franchise like the Spurs or the Warriors. You know, the Pelicans are a young team, and I feel like your coach is gonna have to make some adjustments as far as playing style now, because in today's NBA, man, it's hard to play with two ball dominant bigs. And I hope it works, but we don't know if it's going to work. Like, it's no guarantee it's going to work for you guys. And but yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see Buddy Hield play. I think he has a lot of potential, and you know, he's an older rookie, but now that he's pretty much going to be the go-to guy, if you think about it, and his numbers are going to skyrocket high up. So I think he's going to bring and generate some excitement for Kings fans.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just a likable guy in general, which is always a really good thing. Now, I know you've had some, as we were saying before we started recording, kind of run-ins with DeMarcus Cousins and his temper, his personality. Can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, what Pelicans fans might be, should, or at least should be expecting, potentially the fireworks that might come from this guy?
Well, I hope you guys don't lose many games, because when you guys lose a game, it's going to be an awkward locker room for sure. it's not a pleasant locker room when they lose. I'll tell you that much. You know, he's seriously, to me, he's bipolar. Sometimes he'll treat you with respect, and sometimes he won't. He's been very disrespectful. He's disrespectful to me, for sure, because we ran a story about how technical fouls affect the team overall. And yeah, his stats get better per 36 minutes, but if you can't admit that that hurts your team, that's sad. And the fact that he came up to me 10 minutes before a game, and I was his biggest concern as opposed to the Houston Rockets, that shows how much of a leader he truly is. And I've been on record many times. He's not a leader, and I'm glad he's going to a team that has a better player than him. It's AD's team, and you know, he's going to play second fiddle to him, which really might help him, because I know he respects AD, and on the Kings, there was no one that he really respected as far as a player that was better than him, which is why he succeeded so well with Team USA, because he wasn't the man, the go-to guy, right? With the Kings, there's nobody better. And with the Kings, he was full of enablers that pretty much slapped his wrist and said it was okay to do, you know, unprofessional things. So I think it was just time to change it up and, you know, have that restart, hit that reset button for him and for the Kings organization.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's kind of a good thing for everybody. And sometimes you just need to cut away from those guys, and we've seen it in the NBA as a whole. If they're really locker room issues, they will move on from people, even if they're very talented players. And you know, there's no doubting Cousins' talent. So offensively, what are some of the things for Pelicans fans who haven't really paid a lot of attention to him throughout his career, where Cousins excels?
I mean, he's the most dominant player inside the paint, bar none. Barring injury, I still see him scoring 22 points minimum alongside AD. Stats-wise, he'll be fine. Honestly, he's a very improved three-point shooter. He was the best three-point shooter on the Kings, I'm not going to lie. He can do it all. There's nothing he can do offensively. Defensively, at times, if he's arguing with the refs, he won't get back on defense. He gets his shots blocked a lot, and he was pretty open about it. It's because he doesn't jump high during All-Star weekend. So Pelican fans, they should expect a very good offensive player, and a guy who is very good at taking charges. He's very good at that. He won't block many shots, but he will take a lot of charges, and sometimes that's even better than an actual block, because some blocks end up in the wrong places, and sometimes they end up being points. You know, charges are guaranteed possession, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and offensively, he's looked like a pretty decent passer if they can get the right entry pass to him. And, you know, that's something the Pels don't really have. Does that open up the Kings' offense more when he's able to get the ball maybe early in the shot clock and they kind of run the offense through him?
Well, the Kings run a high post offense, so it starts with him in the high post. He has a luxury to have the ball there and really control the offense and dictate where the ball will go. That's why, well, when he went out with suspension, the ball movement was so much better without him in the lineup, and the constant, you know, arguing with the refs, and that really hurts the morale of the team. But when he's out there, I feel like the Kings players really depended too much on him, and they just would stand there and just look at him at times, which hurt the ball movement. But I don't know what type of offense you guys run. But again, I think whatever you guys run, Elvin Gentry is going to have to, you know, adjust to him and try to incorporate him into your guys' offense.
And you touched on this a moment ago a little bit. One of the things that always freaks out Pelicans fans when it comes to people they're trading for and people they've linked to is injury history. What is Cousins' injury history kind of looked like overall since he's been in Sacramento?
He got some as far as like his leg, his ankle, his feet, that's normal wear and tear for a big, nothing too serious. Honestly, barring some bad injury, I know AD's had lots of issues with injuries. Boogie is very tough. I mean, he'll play through pain, and that's why he said he tends to shoot a little bit more, because, you know, he gets banged up inside the paint from all the physicality from other players. And he's a type of player that initiates contact a lot. So he's always in there and initiating contact, which in the long run is not a good thing, but because, you know, those things cause injuries. But as far as health, I think he's fine. You know, he was sick the year Malone got fired with meningitis. That was a very rare situation, though, so I don't expect that to happen again. So, yeah, as far as injuries, I think he's good to go.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything that I was too worried about that, but it's nice to hear you say he, you know, should be good, because that's something that Pelicans fans have been terrified for a little while. So I talked about it on a previous podcast, the Vlade Divac, the presser he had, which I think you were at covering. Mm-hmm. What'd you make of that, and especially the whole fact that he said he had a better deal than the one he accepted from the Pelicans?
Well, I know this much. He's going to come on the Grant Napier show, which is the play-by-play guy for the Kings. I'm sure Grant's going to want to clarify on that. And in my honest opinion, I think he was just being facetious about it. He was just trying to pull someone's leg. And if you go back to the interview, he's like, well, just ask the agents, you know. And he was kind of like smirking, and I was there. So I was like, well, and then someone else asked them a different question and just left it at that. You know, there wasn't really a true follow-up after that. I think it was because he kind of dismissed it and just said, oh, yeah, just ask those agents, man. So, again, I wouldn't pay too much attention to that. I know for a fact that his value wasn't high enough anyway. Again, it's because he pretty much is on a one-year rental or a year and 25 games. So that's a scary thought for any GM that has a young team, honestly. And because he's a player that, you know, he flips off fans and he's been very unprofessional at times. And, you know, that's not a good look. And, if you don't have an established organization or a player that's better than him, it's a scary thought to mortgage your future for a guy like that, man.
No, I mean, there's everyone's calling this a slam dunk for the Pelicans, but there's a lot of risks associated with it. And
of course,
you know,
there is.
the attitude and everything, you know, fans don't like that. And after New Orleans kind of went through stuff where a lot of people said bad things about him on the way out, and Eric Gordon this past weekend, All-Star weekend, said they're dysfunctional. You know, it could be like a pressure cooker situation where, you know, the Pels just had to do something to make a move. But this could end up blowing up in their faces, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are reports coming out right now that Seth Curry asked the Kings to pretty much let him go and that he would take less money to play in Dallas because he didn't want to play with DeMarcus Cousins. And there are a lot of players that feel that way about him. You know, this year, I'll say this. This year, the locker room has been very good, and it's been – I would say enforced because of the people that they brought in as far as Garrett Temple, Anthony Tolliver. See, those type of guys that are so intelligent and such leaders, such vocal leaders, that helped a lot. Even a guy like Matt Barnes, believe it or not, I know he's not the best as far as making decisions off the court because he's awful at them and he's full of drama, but he was a good leader inside the locker room. And so the locker room was unified this year, and it's been the most unified ever, I would say, in his tenure with the Kings. But again, early on as well, it was obvious that players were getting tired and were tired of his antics because that gets old, man. And, you know, when you don't get back on defense and you're not busting your butt for your teammates, you're not playing for your teammates, that gets frustrating as a basketball player. And, you know, I hope he does less of that with the Pelicans, but that's who he is. When you take on DeMarcus Cousins, you're going to take on the baggage that comes with it. And unfortunately, he's been very open about it. You know, a week ago, he was battling with demons, meaning that he was trying to justify himself, victimize himself, saying that the refs are at fault for all this. No, it's his fault that he argues so much. And yeah, his bad rep gets him those type of calls. And it was just funny to me and unacceptable that he kept victimizing himself, saying that he had no fault in all this, when in reality, it was all of his fault. And it's all his fault that he got suspended. And the fact that he has 16 or 17 technical fouls now, that's pretty ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's a danger here for the Pelicans. But, you know, as we were saying earlier, when it comes to these trades, you got to kind of wait and see. But, you know, it doesn't – the track record's not there to say he's just going to come in and be a model citizen.
Yeah.
So, Leo, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me here on Locked On Pelicans today. Let all the listeners know where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at BSLeo or follow Cowbell Kingdom at Cowbell_Kingdom. You know, we provide frontline coverage of the Kings. We're an ESPN affiliate. You guys can find our work on ESPN.com as well. It's all there. And, again, the Pelicans are getting a very good offensive player. But a better human being. I know his antics get old and they're unprofessional on the court, but off the court, I honestly, genuinely feel that he is the most generous player in the NBA. So, I mean, that's my two cents about him.
No, I mean, that's actually echoes something someone else has mentioned to me. He donates a lot of his own personal money and time to
he
the
does.
Community, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean he's great, which is why it's so weird. And to me, my honest opinion, it goes back to he feels like because he does so much, it makes it okay for him to act a certain way on the court. That makes sense. It's just like he tries to cover it up with all the good things. I'm not saying he doesn't, like, there aren't good intentions behind that, because there is. I mean, he's a great person, a great human being. But at times, because he's been enabled so much to do whatever he has wanted to, he does those type of things, and it's a scary thought for, you know, Pelicans fans, because hopefully he gets his act together, and now that he's getting a fresh start, I really hope that he takes advantage, because I genuinely think that he's a great person. He's not there mentally, and maybe having a guy who's better than him, and or not even better than him, a guy who he actually respects, will help him out a lot.
We're going to find out. So again, Leo, thank you so much for coming on with me today.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me.
That right there is insight you aren't getting anywhere else. So please, if you've been enjoying the coverage of the DeMarcus Cousins trade, you know, the biggest blockbuster in the NBA season to date, and probably in the past couple of years, please subscribe to Locked On Pelicans on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Follow it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. It's at Locked On Pels on Twitter, Locked On Pelicans on Facebook. You know, come on, this sharing it and getting the listens and all of that, that keeps this free. I do this for you guys 5 days a week. You can press a quick little button for me. And like I said, no other analysis is coming to you guys straight like this, talking with the concerns from someone in Leo there who has lived through this. And like I said in the beginning of the podcast, everyone's looking at this like it's a slam dunk. And I've had people tweeting at me, there's no downsides to this deal if you're the Pelicans. There are downsides, and we're going to talk about them and kind of piggyback off of what Leo said here, but I'll also tell you why, if you're the Pelicans, you do this deal still, despite these detractors and the negatives here and the downsides to it, and that, frankly, they're not the worst in a weird kind of way. So obviously the first concern is going to be about Cousins' character and attitude and all of that, like, you know, what Leo had mentioned here. And that's important, but the Pelicans don't do this deal unless they feel they do have a strong enough locker room culture to kind of, not keep him in check, but maybe, because I don't think that's the way to do it. No one really responds well to ultimatums and different things like that. And kind of just being brushed up against him. But maybe they look at this and they see that he does fit in here. And I think part of that has to do with Anthony Davis being kind of passive, not the most vocal, you know, dominant alpha type of personality. Maybe Boogie can come in and they'll be fine because he's not brushing up against Davis and AD's personality on a night-in, night-out basis. Pels also really spent this past offseason on locker room culture. And you guys have heard us talk about it. Blue collar, desperate, work ethic, all of those things are traits they brought in from certain guys. And the main one being Solomon Hill. And he's one of the main voices in the locker room before the game, their final game before the All-Star break. He went in and said, hey, you guys are getting a couple of days off. Don't go out there and dog this game. Go out and play with all the energy you have. And they responded. And, you know, they beat Memphis. And it seems like those are type of good personalities to have here. He's not screaming at anyone. He's not chewing anyone out. He's out there being honest, saying, hey, let's all go out and try hard and motivate in his team. And Drew Holiday, by all accounts, is a very great locker room guy as well. And I think the Pelicans look at this and they look at the potential downside to Cousins. Again, the personality, the text on the court. And they feel they have enough guys to just keep him under control. And also have to feel that just trading for him and bringing him into this new situation and getting him out of one where he was unhappy and there was a lot going on. And, you know, I'm not saying the blame's all on Sacramento or that the blame's on DeMarcus Cousins. They certainly were, from an outsider's perspective, both involved in this, and everyone could have handled everything overall better. That tends to be how these messy divorces kind of go, you know, in terms of real life and in sports. But he's coming here. He should be a model citizen for a little while, knowing he's got a new lease on life, a fresh start. First impressions matter, and I have no doubt that DeMarcus Cousins wants to make a good one here in New Orleans. But here's why I'm not too worried about that overall. You gave up Buddy Hield and a top three protected. I always want to keep saying top three protected because I think it's just so absurd that it is top three protected and not an unprotected first rounder for what, a three-time All-Star and who's having a career year. But you give up those two assets, which doesn't
kill your future in a weird way. You know, this isn't like the Celtics-Brooklyn Nets trade where the Celtics were trading first-round picks basically 6 years out because you can only owe every other one and you can't owe multiple back-to-back years, where they're still paying for this and all those guys are gone and retired basically. And the Nets are still have no future because of that. Here, the trade ends after this season, no matter what's going on. 2017, it's done. You have your 2018 pick. You have a 2019 pick. And if the Pelicans next year just feel they need to abandon Cousins for whatever reason, and it's going to tie into my next point, they can do so and still probably trade him for a lottery first-round pick. His value isn't going to drop that much over this period of time, that there's kind of outs that return not all of your value that you traded for him, but they really didn't give him up much in the first place, but you get some of it back. And it's okay. Maybe it fails, but at least they tried and swung for the fences, which this team had to do. And when you're these small market teams, and you know, I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday that it was all small market teams that, not all small market, the Lakers were involved, but it was bad lottery teams that were looking to make a deal because they were the ones that would have to take a risk like this. But the risk wasn't as big as we thought for the Pelicans, and they have outs, and it's not the end of the world. You know, the future isn't killed. It's not easy to rebound from this should you have to move on from Cousins, and should this not, you know, should the trade fail and not work out in the Pelicans' favor. But It's not crippling as bad as it could be. And this all leads to my next point, which is the other big risk here, which I don't really think is a truly credible threat, risk maybe, and that's him not re-signing with the Pelicans. And I've talked about this on the emergency pod and yesterday's pod, that I would be so blown away if he doesn't re-sign. And only one reason for that was what would truly, I think, be a damning thing for the Pel. So one, he's losing $30 million by being traded here because he can't sign the designated player extension for $209 million or somewhere in there. Now the Pels can offer him $180 million over 5 years. Another team can offer him $130 million over four. That's $50 million guaranteed that he would be leaving on the table should he want to sign somewhere else or should he want to leave New Orleans. And that's after he lost $30 million. That was out of his control. The $50 is in his control. He's going to really want out if he's going to have lost out on $80 million total guaranteed. That is a lot of money, even for someone who makes a ton, as is. And who deservedly makes a ton. But I don't see someone who just lost out on $30 also being willing to accept a $50 million pay cut. So I largely think that he'll re-sign with the Pelicans after his contract expires next season. It isn't smart for him to sign an extension now. He'd actually be leaving money on the table by doing it, hence his agent saying that the other night. But that's the early extension. That wasn't in, you know, to talk about the overall chances of the Pelicans re-signing him, which I would say are high, and they certainly have the inside track to do so. Now, should he really want out, it's got to tell you the state of the Pelicans and how bad they are, wouldn't you think? That would be the bigger concern to me than not retaining DeMarcus Cousins, but I don't think that's what we're going to see. You know, this is restored as, you know, maybe a temporary fix or a Band-Aid over a bullet wound here. So that's a line from, what, Taylor Swift song, something like that. So I think that would be just the larger overall concern is, my God, this guy left $50 million on the table to get the hell out of here. That's not a good look for the Pelicans. But I don't think that's the route that this is going to take. And I fully, at least right now, expect DeMarcus Cousins in the future, in a year, to re-sign with the New Orleans Pelicans. So a little bit longer on the podcast today for Locked On Pelicans, your Tuesday edition. Still diving into the DeMarcus Cousins news and the blockbuster trade that brought him to New Orleans. Pelicans, I do believe, have practiced today. We're not sure whether DeMarcus Cousins is going to be there or not. It is not open to the media. They sent that out last night. So you won't really hear any interviews or clips from him. With media asking questions, I would assume there will be a press conference on Wednesday. And still haven't heard anything about his status for Thursday's game. I've said before that the Pels tend to hold guys out a little bit longer when they're new guys here, but being a home game and such a big acquisition, and that they're going to be fighting, you know, with parades to try and draw people, get people to the arena. A lot of people are buying extra tickets. If he doesn't play, they'd probably be upset. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans today. Hopefully this was a little insightful on the risks associated with a move many are just saying is a home run for the Pels. Rest of the week, we'll have more obviously covering DeMarcus Cousins here, but about his specific offensive fit, the specific fit on defense. I want to talk about some of the other things, especially Omri Caspi too. Don't forget that he's involved in this. We'll get some of the local guys on. I know Justin Verrier for sure will be on with me later in this week. Need to talk about what's next for the Pelicans. What are the next steps they need to take to turn this team really into a contender as well? So stay tuned. It's going to be a jam-packed week. Make sure you're following it on Twitter at Locked On Pels. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at Nola Jake. Subscribe to the podcast so you get it. They're going to be back to 6 in the morning is when they always come out for you guys. So we'll have you ready for your morning commute. So again, Pelicans fans, keep being happy. Like I said, these concerns aren't that big. When you really look at it in kind of the larger macro sense of things here when it comes to this team, but only time's going to tell. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.